Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning. Welcome in, Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan. Kyle Bailey does afternoon radio in Charlotte. He'll be with us at 11. We want to talk about Scott Turner and the fact that Ron Rivera seems to be assembling a little bit of Panthers North with not just his coaching staff, but some of the assistants behind the scenes.
Trainers, medical staff, everybody.
Getting the band together. A lot to get into today. Of course, the NFL playoffs start anew on Saturday. There is major news in Major League Baseball on the cheating scandal front with the Boston Red Sox now linked with the Houston Astros. That's a black eye for baseball because that's your 2017 World Series champion in Houston and your 2018 World Series winners in Boston. The poor Dodgers lost to those two teams in back-to-back years in the series.
Uh-huh.
And both have now been found in their championship seasons to be using technology to cheat. Of course, Alex Cora was the manager of the Red Sox a year after being the bench coach of the Astros. So he knew about all their Houston practices and seems like he brought them with him to Boston.
You know who was not mentioned there? Your 2019 World Series champion, Washington Nationals.
Attaboys.
They were not mentioned in the huge scandal that's a black eye for baseball. I'm mentioning them now because they are the World Series champions, and I'm not going to stop watching videos of Howie Kendrick hitting home runs against the Dodgers or the Astros or Zim or Strasburg and all the rest. I'm going to continue to bathe in that until further notice. But I've mentioned this before. I said on Twitter the other day, at FunnyDanny, Grant's at Grant H. Paulson. This needs to be the largest punishment in the history of modern sports. I really believe that. I'm not talking about, oh, you fined the team. That's a winning tax. I'm happy to pay a couple million bucks for a World Series. I'm talking draft picks, cap space, suspensions of front office people, all the way down to managers. I've already read that the players won't be involved. I disagree. They need to be involved. They're willingly engaging in this kind of stuff. People need, a message needs to be sent, not a shot across the bow. I'm talking about a massive, massive, huge-scale punishment like we haven't seen since 1919.
So let's put that on the agenda for today then, because while I agree with some of that, I think that's over the top, and I think it's hot. I think you're coming at me with heat here. You're a fire-breathing dragon right now.
Only because it's freezing outside, you should be lukewarm with that one. This is just so reasonable. You're probably just letting, so much reason is hitting you, it feels hot.
No, it feels scalding.
No.
It didn't feel like reason to
me. Run your hands through that water faucet again.
So we'll get into that a little bit later on because I want to go back to that with you. Two things really quickly. First, 20 years ago today, everyone will tell you that the big story in the NFL on January 8th, 2000 was the Music City Miracle. I remember exactly where I was when that happened. I was sitting in the press box at FedEx Field, getting ready to watch a Redskins playoff game for the first time in my life. That day, the Redskins beat the Lions. It was the only time in the history of FedEx Field that the Redskins have won a playoff game there.
It's 20 years ago. Keep that in mind.
In fact, they only played two other playoff games there since. In 2012, when they won seven straight games, and then they lost to Seattle as the division champions. And in 2015, when they won four straight games to win the NFC East at 9-7, and then the Green Bay Packers came to FedEx and beat them. So all time, they're 1-2 in their three playoff games in Landover, Maryland. But it has been 20 years to the day, Danny, since Washington Redskins fans got to go to a playoff game that the Redskins won here in D.C.
Just unbelievable.
Think about that.
The other playoff win on the road at Tampa Bay, so they could go be cannon fodder for Seattle.
But and that was a game, that Tampa Bay game, where I think Chris Sims started for the Bucs. That Tampa Bay offense was putrid. The Redskins, that was 05, were led by Mark Brunell. And if you remember, Clinton Portis was their running back. It was a ton of CP. It was a little bit of Brunell. I think he threw for, if I had to guess, it was like 128 yards in that win. I think LeVar Arrington had a big fumble recovery that he returned inside the 10-yard line. It was a defensive game. But they end up beating the Bucs. And as you said, they went on the following week to go to Seattle and get eviscerated by the Seahawks. I think Max Strong like rumbled all over the place after Sean Alexander got knocked out with a concussion a couple plays into that game.
Was that the game where they recovered? I think the Carlos Rogers interception drop, which would have been a pick six. He could have jogged in and cartwheeled in. Or is that a different year?
That was later. That was 07. That was 2 years after that. That was the opening playoff game they played in Seattle when Todd Collins was the quarterback.
So was that the year they recovered a kickoff? Remember there was that in-between kickoff and nobody fielded it, bounced up. And
right.
I think it was like, I can't remember the guy's name, but he grabbed it and he ran into the end zone. They go, no, you can't advance that. And I go, well, great scoring position. They got a chance. And then they ended up missing the field goal. And they got nothing out of that when they got the ball at the 12 or whatever.
Feels right. I don't remember all the specifics. But, yeah, Seattle, of course, in 05 and 07 and then in 12, three straight playoff appearances knocked the Redskins out. But think about that, 20 years to the day. What were you doing January 8th, 2000, when they were playing the Lions?
I went to my friend Pat Hines' house in Northwest D.C.
How's Pat doing?
He's doing great, actually. He's not a district attorney, but he's for the federal government, like in the state of New York. He prosecutes big time bad guys. He's a badass, really, really smart dude. What do they call that?
I feel like all your friends have really important, powerful jobs.
Yeah,
I guess that's what happens when you go to St. Albans.
Yeah, and then there's me. There's little old me.
You're doing all right too.
I'm fine. Not doing what he's doing. He like every once in a while we won't hear from him for a few months, and he'll send an email. And go, hey guys, this is the case I was working on. It's like. Look, you know, attorney puts behind bars 27 mafia guys that were flooding the city with drugs and killing people. You're like, oh, that's cool.
Were you wearing a Stephen Davis jersey that day? Were you wearing a Marco Coleman after he had 11 and a half sacks?
It's a great question.
Perhaps it was a Michael Westbrook or an Albert Cano love that you were showing. What do you think it was?
I think I may have had a Rock Cartwright jersey on, believe it or not.
I'm not buying that, but I like that you pulled him.
I might have had a Rock Cartwright jersey on.
The other of the two things I wanted to hit on. So Lamar Jackson yesterday turned 23 years old. He's younger than Joe Burrow. There have been,
wow.
I got this little stat from that email I always tell you about I like from Axios. There have been 654 instances of NFL players rushing for 1,000 yards in a season. 654 times. Someone's rushed for 1,000 yards. And 126 different times, a guy has thrown for 30 touchdowns. Lamar Jackson, at age 22, became the first player to ever do both in the same season. What he just did this past year was historical and brilliant. And now he's got to start all over again because you know the way that the hot takers work and the...
They can't wait for him to lose.
...recency effect in this country. Now, I don't think I'm a hot taker. I'm very curious if they have to throw the ball to win, what happens? I just think that's a reasonable way to view Jackson and the Ravens.
Right, nobody's
forced them into this, really, certainly in months and months since they played the Browns, and so they've been able to dictate terms, and when they get to play the way they want and run everything out of read option and pistol and come at you with misdirection, they're unstoppable. But I think they have a tough game with the Titans, don't you? You think they're just going to wax Tennessee?
I think they'll end up. It'll be close for a
little
bit. No, I think it'll be close for a little while. Tennessee might do a couple things. Derrick Henry will rumble the way that he does. But the sneaky thing here is the Ravens' defense continued to improve as the season went on. They had a couple real bad weeks. You mentioned them. Kansas City, who scores on everybody, and then Cleveland rang the bell against them. Since then, they haven't given up more than 23 points, even while their offense has been humming. So it's basically a lot of 10, 13, 16, these kinds of things. Now, some of them are against bad teams, but it's evidentiary. They're good. They're good on both sides of the ball. Top five in both offense and defense. I think they end up winning by double digits. I do. I think they win this week handled.
I could definitely see that because I'm just not sure the Titans have the big playability. Like, they have one guy who can do that, A.J. Brown.
Right. That's a hitch turn. That's a Garcon hitch turn 90 yards.
Correct.
You know?
Or like a breakdown in the secondary where someone falls asleep. And he catches the ball 22 yards downfield behind everybody, and he runs the rest of the way, 55 more yards. But for the most part, it's 11 plays, 82 yards, 7 to 9 carries from Derrick Henry, and a couple play-action passes from Ryan Tannehill. I just think it's hard to beat the Ravens that way. But Lamar Jackson, 23 years old as of yesterday, getting ready to start in the playoffs for Baltimore a year after, obviously, didn't have the game that he would have liked, the Ravens would have liked. They were in a very different spot, though, as they played the Chargers a season ago. So that'll be the big story this weekend in the NFL as the MVP takes to the field to kick off his second season, so to speak. Ron Rivera is assembling a staff. He has put together a bunch of former Panthers, not just assistants, but staffers on the non-football side, medical and otherwise. This is not necessarily the New England Patriots or the Pittsburgh Steelers or some team that year in and year out has been great. And that you go there and you say, well, we'll get their head coach and they'll bring in all the guys from that culture that won so much. Yes, the Panthers got to the Super Bowl and they went 15-1 in 2015. By the way, that was five seasons ago. But if you look, they never had back-to-back winning seasons. Since 2011, when Rivera was hired, their win totals have been 6, 7, 12, 7, 15, 6, 11, 7, and 5. So they basically had three really good years and then a bunch of years where they won about seven games. Here's the question. Everybody likes the Rivera hiring, understandably. Jack Del Rio is the defensive coordinator. People did backflips who could.
Rightfully
people like
so.
Me just clapped their hands because they can't do backflips.
I pumped my fist once.
The idea, though, of getting that Charlotte Carolina Panthers band together, we haven't really talked about the fact that it's not like they won a whole lot.
It's not that exciting.
It's a better culture than the Redskins.
Sure.
It's a better organization than the Redskins. But you're not bringing in a coach who was winning Super Bowls, who's bringing in a bunch of people with rings. It's a bunch of guys who every other year had good seasons and then got knocked out of the playoffs. The question is, what, are you cool with basically Panthers North?
Pretty much. Because that's what this is.
800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. We'll get into that next. Playoff win in FedEx Field history. 22-year-old stadium that opened in 97, and it'll turn 23 at the start of September. I forgot that Brad Johnson, who that year threw for 4,000 yards.
He was so good that
year. He was a Pro Bowler. In that game, he actually only threw for a little over 100 yards. He had an awful game. He was 15 of 31. Steven Davis rushed for a 119 and 2. And in fact, even though he was the guy that carried the mail for the Redskins all season long, Skip Hicks had more carries than Steven Davis that day. He carried the ball like almost 20 times.
Weird.
So anyway, they beat the Lions. I remember it. It was fun. It was the good old days. And I missed them.
It was really weird watching Gus Frat quarterback the Lions that day. Threw it damn near 50 times. Was very Gus Frat-y about it, right? Just a lot of bad throws, a couple interceptions. Wasn't particularly good. But still made the occasional player where you go, oh, maybe there's something there. Don't talk yourself into it, Detroit. Don't you do it.
The Redskins are hoping to get back to a day in the not-too-distant future where they get to host another playoff game and win the thing, ideally by two touchdowns like they did that day, 27-13. Ron Rivera is the head coach they've tasked with getting them there. He brought in Jack Del Rio right away as his defensive coordinator. I gave that hire rave reviews. I am
10 out of 10.
Jacked up about having Jack Del Rio here. I think that was a tremendous addition to this staff. The Redskins have been looking for a high-end, quality, blue-chip defensive coordinator for years. Just look at the difference 365 days makes. A year ago at this time, they're interviewing anyone and everyone to take their DC job. Well, they already have Greg Minuski in their building. And because it was so awkward and weird and Jay Gruden was going into what looked like a lame duck year, they couldn't get anybody to sign off to take the job. This year, you bring in Rivera and immediately lure Del Rio out of the TV booth and into your building. Huge, huge progress. But outside of that hire, it's been a lot of getting a bunch of his staffers from Carolina together, which A, is not a bad thing, and B, is not surprising. This is what coaches do. It goes all the way back for me to like Marty Schottenheimer bringing in a bunch of dudes that played for him, like Donnell Bennett with the Chiefs, and Kevin Lockett. Coaches surround themselves with people they're familiar with, people they like. They do it on their staff. They do it on the roster. You're going to have a lot of former Panthers come in here as veterans, I'm sure, in the next couple years. This is the way it works. It's not just football. It's everything. You know, if a program director you work for gets a job in another market, at some point maybe you end up in that market because he liked you and you liked him, whatever else.
Sure.
The point of the dude's story, Danny, is this. The Panthers have not been that successful. They had a Super Bowl run at 15-1, and they had three really good years under Ron Rivera. Otherwise, they've been about 500. In fact, in his tenure, we're well under 500. 3 years excluded of his nine seasons there. I'm pumped that he's here like you are, but is it at least fair to ask about the fact that it's not like you are bringing in a guy from New England or Pittsburgh or Green Bay or some perennial contender like Kansas City, and they're getting all those guys together. It's a team that, frankly, has won nothing other than the 1 year that they were NFC champions.
So here's where I'll go with that. The first 2 years of Ron Rivera, he takes over for John Fox, who went 2-14, and he builds the program, has rookie Cam Newton, who turns himself into an MVP candidate, right? They build into a 12-4. I know the second year of this, they went 7-8-1. Then the following year, they're 15-1. Three straight division titles. That was the AFC South that year was what the NFC East was this year. I'm not sitting here tooting my horn about 7-8-1. I'm just saying they won the division three straight years. Since then, you're talking about a 500-ish kind of group with 1-11-5 season that stands out in there. So you've got this three-year run of 13-15, and if you want to add in 16-17, pretty damn successful, as good as anybody in the league. Now, 2018, disappointment. Cam Newton starts to get banged up. This year ultimately leads to Rivera's firing. I give him a mulligan because I like him, honestly. If I didn't like him, I'd go, look at the first 2 years. That was a garbage program. They had to basically start over. You get the number one pick, not because you're great. You had to start over. You had to do a lot of things differently. He did that. So those first couple years, they're building something. Something got built that was pretty damn good that I'm envious of. So here's what I don't like about it. I feel like when you go and you have an opportunity, I think of what Mike Shanahan did. Now, it ended up being Jim Haslett. It wasn't particularly successful. But Mike Shanahan took the time after he got canned out of Denver and went and researched everything and everybody to figure out what worked, what didn't. I want to do the best thing. What's best practice? What's best practice? Ron Rivera's going, I know this guy already. Just get him a key card and a parking spot, and we'll just do Carolina Panthers North. I couldn't tell you the difference between his linebackers coach, Steve Russ, who's going to go to Washington and do the same thing, versus another linebackers coach out there somewhere else. To me, though, this is a little bit lazy, honestly. We're not going to beat the bushes for the next great thing. We're just going to go with guys that we know. This is an opportunity. I understand there's going to be some familiarity, and that's normal. I don't want normal. I want exceptional. I want you to practice what you preach.
Yeah,
right?
I'm not going to sit here and dislike or show any kind of upset for something that literally happens with every hire that's ever happened.
Right.
So I'm not going to play that. When you hire a coach, you're hiring in some way the people that he knows as well. He's going to call, and this is the good old boy network of the National Football League. There's a lot of talk right now, by the way, about the lack of minorities being hired. Understandably so. I think there are three black head coaches in an NFL right now that is predominantly African-American by way of the players. Doesn't seem like that meshes or works. One of the reasons why is when you are a head coach that gets hired, and Ron Rivera is actually a minority, obviously, as the Redskins satisfied the Rooney Rule by hiring him, didn't have to interview anybody else. But when you're hired, if you bring in a lot of the coaches you've worked with who have been around you, who you know, it's kind of that good old boy network. And it's kind of incestuous in some way where if you worked with someone 10 years ago, suddenly you're back to working with them again. And yeah, I remember him from this place in 1997, and now we're back together, and he was my O-line coach here. People don't really branch out much. So this is expected when you make a hire. I also think that part of this is very normal because you have to get it right. And if you're Ron Rivera and you know that your head trainer in Carolina was really good, then I'm bringing that guy with me to the Redskins. You don't bring people with you that weren't good. You know, if you didn't like your linebackers coach or you didn't like your wide receivers coach or you said, damn, I'd like to do a little bit better than this guy who coaches my running backs, they're not on your new staff. So generally, you're bringing the best of the best, who you like the most, who you think have the most acumen. And when you're hired as the head coach, the ownership, Dan Snyder, the front office, whoever that is for the
risk
Redskins.
Risk endorsing all your buddies, too.
Yeah, they're endorsing your trust of the people that you want to surround yourself with. I just think it's a fair question to ask. And I don't think it's a problem by any means. But we're getting together a band of Panthers people.
Mm-hmm.
Who, as a resume, improved that organization, but they didn't get to the top of the mountain. And I'm not even sure they got that close, other than that 1-15-1 season where Cam Newton put everyone on his back and played at an MVP level and won that award. 800-636-1067. Speaking of which, by the way, to tackle this subject with us, Kyle Bailey, who does radio in Charlotte and covers the Panthers, will be on the show in about 35 minutes. Tom's in Manassas. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob. Good morning, guys. Love the show, as always. My first thought is I'm questioning his adaptability, Rivera, that is. I know you want to come in here and put your handprint on everything, and Grant, like you said, you're bringing the guys you know that are successful with you, but you got to also adapt to your situation you're in. So my question is, in a vacuum with O'Connell versus Turner, in a vacuum, who do you hire? To me, it's a coin flip. Maybe I'm wrong on that. You know, those two seem to be young and up and coming. But to me, why wouldn't you stick with the guy that your rookie quarterback's comfortable with? I'll talk about the defense another time, but, that's where I'm at. He needs to adapt and not just be an iron fist.
Yeah, that's one example. There's complicating factors there where, maybe Kevin O'Connell wants to go, or there's background. But I see the point. In a vacuum, if you interviewed both guys, who would you hire? And I think that's kind of where I'm coming from here. Again, I give Rivera a lot of credit. I love him. I'm very excited about the hire. I love Jack Del Rio. I'm just kind of going, there's nobody else we could have talked to. It seems like you're settling with comfort and you're asking people that you come into an organization to not be comfortable. I guess that's my only point.
Let's go to Tony in Long Island on G&D. What's up, pal?
Hey, Tony.
Hey, how are you guys? Before we get started, I'd love to wish both of you a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
Happy Thanksgiving. I have no problem with this, and here's why. When Dan Snyder got to the podium, what was the first thing he said after Happy Thanksgiving? He said, we need a culture change. And if Ron Rivera, and I understand you guys are talking about wins and losses and Super Bowls, but we're the Redskins. Mm-hmm. We need a culture change. The only way Ron Rivera knows how to do that is to bring in the people that he know he can trust, mm-hmm. that he knows he can build the culture. If you look at all the guys in the Panthers, the ex-players, the players that played in Carolina, the culture was fantastic. The results might not have been what you're saying, and it might not have been Lombardi-esque, but the culture was fantastic. So that's what Ron Rivera is trying to do. He's trying to change the culture. And in terms of Dwayne Haskins, listen, I liked what I saw at the end of the season. There was some growth there. I think we can win with him. But at the same time, he's going to be great or he's not going to be great, and it's all going to be on Dwayne Haskins. Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers because he's Aaron Rodgers, not because he has a great quarterback's coach.
Well, that's true, I think, to a large extent. You can be made better by the coaches around you and by scheme and by play calling. But to your previous point, I think you hit it out of the park, Tony, and it's why, big picture, I'm perfectly fine with getting the Panthers band together. They didn't necessarily win a bunch of Grammys with their music, but culturally speaking, it's going to be a vast improvement. And for me and you and Danny and so many others, I think that'll be viewed as a huge step, and you kind of see what comes with that. You stumble into a 12-4, which they haven't done here in almost 30 years. You stumble into a huge season at some point like the Panthers did because the process is good. You take that as it comes. Next on Grant and Danny, the Vikings pulled off a huge upset in overtime in New Orleans in the first round of the playoffs with Kirk Cousins at quarterback. Do you find yourself rooting for or against Cousins, a polarizing figure for Redskins fans, as he tries to dig deeper and deeper into the playoffs after leaving D.C.? We're Grant and Danny. Saturday night, the Vikings and the San Francisco 49ers will be winding down the first of four playoff games this weekend. Kirk Cousins leads Minnesota into San Francisco to take on a team coached by his former offensive coordinator here in Washington, Kyle Shanahan, 4:35 kickoff. The Vikings won a game I gave them no chance to be completely honest with you, against New Orleans. I thought the Saints were the best team in the NFC. I really expected them to come out of the NFC and represent the conference in the Super Bowl, and they got eliminated at home in overtime by the Vikings. Dalvin Cook had a huge first half, got shut down in the second half. The Vikings ended up super conservative, a lot of run plays on first and second down, letting New Orleans back into the game. And then in overtime, Kirk Cousins made some huge throws, and they beat the Saints.
I thought it would be close. I did not think the Vikings would win. I thought like you did, the Saints would escape and then kind of go on being the NFC title game, and we'll see what happens with them or San Francisco or whomever. I was dead wrong.
You and I were talking about this yesterday. You know, we sit in the studio and even during the show kind of bounce things off each other and breaks and whatnot. We were talking about Cousins against Kyle and just how funny this whole thing's now become with three critical members of a Redskins staff under Mike Shanahan being integral pieces with Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Packers, of the final four left in the Redskins conference. But one of the things that came up is you and I said, we wondered if more Redskins fans are rooting for or against Kirk Cousins to thrive in these playoffs. He left here after not getting paid by the Redskins. Now, you and I both went on record, and I won't speak for you, but specifically me, I didn't want to pay him $28 million a year.
Yeah, once we got to the end, it would be completely irresponsible to do what the Vikings did. No way.
And for the Vikings, I thought it actually made plenty of sense because they were close and they had a chance to win. And as you see right now, they're a victory away from an NFC championship game. They needed to upgrade at quarterback to try to get over the hump. They've since regressed some in other areas, but they were knocking on the door. And so if you want to spend $28 million on a quarterback with the cap continuing to explode, by the way, $28 million is going to look like nothing.
I know.
A couple years from now.
Dak Prescott's about to get 40, right?
Talking about getting $12 million a year more than that, and he's not that good. But the point is, he left after at least two, maybe 3 years of completely botching his contract situation by Bruce Allen and the Redskins. And now he's in Minnesota doing things that supposedly he couldn't do, whether it was win big games or lead a team to the playoffs. Remember, at one point, the goalpost for Cousins was, he's a 9-7 guy. You can't do better than 9 or 10 wins with him. Well, then the Vikings did this year. You know, could have easily gone 12-4. If not for sitting their starters at the end of the season. Well, he's not going to be a guy that can lead a team that can win in the playoffs. They just knocked out a 13-3 team on the road in the first round, something that had never been done before this weekend. But the question is this, Danny. First, for yourself, and then second, for Redskins fans, do you think more of them are pulling for or against Cousins? Do you want to see him continue to win in this postseason? Because in a lot of ways, this is a X. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of baggage. I mean, there's a lot of stories you remember, good and bad, about his time here.
But so there's one of the things that's happened over the last 10 years. I've been fortunate enough to be flapping my gums on the radio, and it's a dream come true, and it's awesome. But it has morphed the way I view sports at times. Because I'm still just a fan at heart. I just want the teams that I love to do well. And I've gotten two championships in the last 2 years, and the poison is gone. I just feel so happy, just generally fortunate for that. But what I've morphed to is encountering, because we share opinions, encountering opinions and takes and all these things that we're bombarded with every day as we share ours. And I've now morphed into somebody that some of the things I root for, tier one, my team's to win. Tier two is I root against people that have irritated me with nonsense, with hot takes, bogus things that make no sense, goalpost moving type of things, as you said. I've always thought, no, I don't want to say always thought, I updated my file about Kirk Cousins. I initially didn't think very much of him, if you'll remember. I was one of the last people to hold on to hope that Robert Griffin would be good. I came in after he was like 2-for-75 against Tampa, couldn't complete a pass, got sacked a million times, and I said, it's over. It's not going to happen. I morphed from Kirk Cousins is a backup on a good team to, I think that guy's pretty good. That's what I think. He's pretty good. Now, if you want great, you'll be disappointed. But if you think he sucks, you're wrong. You've always been wrong. Your butt hurt because of Robert Griffin. You can't get over it. You couldn't get over the money. You couldn't get over all the different things that happened to you because you're very sad inside and you decided to lash out with evidence that doesn't make any sense. He's not clutch. Sometimes he's not. Sometimes he is. You won't acknowledge those things. So because of all those people that argued with me all the time that he was terrible, not terrible, not terrible. You're wrong. Everything you said is wrong. Everything I'm saying is correct. I now root for him so those people have to swallow it and eat it. That's what I want. Less about him, more about the incorrect people that I had to argue with for years. And I'm not a martyr. I'm just fine. I'm very happy and content. But you see my point. And I also had the same feeling similarly for Kyle Shanahan, by the way. When people said he stinks at offense, he can't coordinate this, he only got a job because of his dad. I wanted that dude to keep ringing the bell, and that's what he did. A 34-point-per-game average the year he coordinated Atlanta's offense. I'm sure that guy can't coordinate offense. So I'm kind of caught between two things, but the Cousins one is more pressing. So I'm rooting for him, not because I have some affinity for him, I'm rooting for him and the Vikings to go far, despite Mike Zimmer and how annoying I find him. I want the Vikings to go far because I want the incorrect people who were so wrong to have to face the fact that they were wrong and eat some justice. Redskins fans, I think, will be split right down the middle. The people that decided 50, he wasn't 50. That decided he wasn't any good and are sick of it and were sick of it then, they're going to want him. They just want to be right, and they want to do a tap dance. See, I told you, even though they'll ignore what just happened in the previous round.
So I think that more Redskins fans than not, the majority of them, would rather see him get eliminated than go win a Super Bowl.
You think so?
I do, because I think even if you supported him while he was here, after leaving, just in general, I think if, you know, an ex or something like that, you don't want to see them do better than you when they leave, even if you really like them when you were dating them. Most of the why would you root for them? Are they rooting for Kyle Shanahan to win a Super Bowl with San Francisco? I certainly am. I don't think the average Redskins fan is. Are they rooting for Matt LaFleur to win a Super Bowl with Green Bay? I'd love to see that. I mean, in the order of what I care about now, I'd like to see Cousins thrive for the reasons you're talking about. Namely, because initially, I mean, this changed so many times, but you know, there were people at first that if you thought Cousins was better than Griffin, like, you were a bad person. Bomani Jones essentially alleged that I was racist because I thought Cousins was better than Robert Griffin.
Absolutely.
I'll never forgive or forget that. You know, that's not okay. That's not a responsible, decent thing to do as a human being to another because you think that one is better at football. So it started there, and then he stunk, and now, okay, he's pretty good, but you can't win with him. And then he wins enough games with the Redskins that the Redskins win the division, but then you can't win in the playoffs with him. And he's not worth, you know, a franchise quarterback salary, but now he's not worth $28 million, and then he won't be worth $32 million. So he'll never win. Like he'll if somehow the Vikings won the Super Bowl, then he's Joe Flacco. And
he didn't win two.
He won a Super Bowl, but really it was the defense and it was Dalvin Cook. So it doesn't matter what those people think. That's one difference I think a little bit between me and you is I'm not watching this thinking about those people because I am at a point in my life where they don't get a seat at the table. They get muted. I don't see them. I don't care what they think. You have the information to be an adult and be in the conversation, or you don't. And I've lived my life this way politically in some ways, too. It's not like I'm closed-minded to learning new things. But if you come to a debate with fake information or non-facts, then I'm not willing to engage. I'll have a discussion with reasonable people who have actual information. That's kind of how, at this point, I view it. That having been said, I pull for him. I covered him. I pull for Kyle Shanahan. I covered him. I pull for Matt LaFleur. I cover him because I think all three of them got raw deals here. So in the same way, by the way, that I'll pull for Kevin O'Connell now that he left, because last year he was butting his head against the wall all year long with Bill Callahan, desperate to prove, hey, I could be a good offensive coordinator in this league, and he didn't get to do it here. So in the same way now that people are going to say, well, they were the 31st offense last year, I'm sure Kevin O'Connell was good. You were saying the same thing about LaFleur. You were saying the same thing about Kyle. You were saying the same thing about McVay, while people like me were sitting here telling you these guys are pretty good.
So that's the thing that regular folks don't have, that you have the ability to call up and say. I mean, for me, I'm thinking to myself, if I'm just on the couch listening to us, and what it would be for me is I want everyone who was wrong to know that they were wrong. I want Dan Snyder to sit in his office while Kyle Shanahan hoists a trophy and go, damn it.
I don't think a guy like Dan Snyder will acknowledge in that moment that
he was
wrong.
And I'm sure
he
wouldn't, but I want everyone to have to face justice.
He would have to
feel
a little shame for sure, though.
That's what I want. I want people that should feel shame to feel shame. I want people that were wrong to face justice. I want correction.
Face justice.
That's what I want.
That sounds so dramatic.
It's 100% how I feel.
Are you rooting for or against Kirk Cousins to continue to play well and continue to be at the helm as the Vikings are winning playoff games this January? 800-636-1067. You could touch a button. Cousins and the Vikings can win the Super Bowl, or they can get knocked out in embarrassing fashion against San Francisco. Which are you touching? Fascinated to get the results on this via the phones next. You can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny on the Fan. Kyle Bailey, radio in Charlotte, on the Panthers staff that's being assembled by Ron Rivera at 11 in 13 minutes on Grant and Danny. The phones are open for you at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. After stunning the Saints, the Vikings have moved on to play the San Francisco 49ers. Do you want to see Kirk Cousins succeed and continue to win in these playoffs after leaving Washington, or are you rooting against him? Now, oddly enough, he's playing against Kyle Shanahan. You could ask the same question about him and the winner of that game.
The Cousins one is more recent, so that's the one that stung a bit
also,
more.
Also, it's such a more polarizing.
Yeah.
Like, we took calls about Kirk Cousins on this station, even when we weren't asking for calls, for hours and hours and hours. Kyle Shanahan, when he was the offensive coordinator, we didn't really. We would just kind of talk about games. People would call in and say how dumb he was, and he only had the job because of his dad and his last name, and he can't call plays, and he's a terrible offensive coordinator, and we'd try to tell them that wasn't true, and that was kind of the end of that. But one of those two guys is going to be in the NFC Championship game, potentially against Matt LaFleur, who was also on that staff with Cousins, with Kyle.
And then John Schneider just lurking.
Yeah,
just it's the former Redskins.
How far back do you want to go?
Yeah,
let's go to Dan in Fairfax. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Grant and Danny, happy New Year.
Hey, buddy,
happy New Year.
I will root for Cousins. He's always been one of my favorite players. He wears my favorite number, number 8. I like the fact that he won a playoff game when everybody said he can't win a big game. I've always been a fan of his, and this is a stretch, but someone called in the chat show and. Can you imagine if Lamar Jackson and the Ravens make it to the Super Bowl and meet the Vikings, and then Lamar Jackson gets injured and it's RG3 versus Kirk? That would be amazing, I think.
I mean, can you imagine the television?
Can you imagine the ratings on this show?
Yeah, like nationwide.
You think we'd talk about anything else that
nationwide,
week?
People are like, oh, okay, that's what it is. Here, I mean, people would be World War Z-ing it, just climbing all over themselves.
I do get what you're saying, though, when you talk about like wanting – narratives be proven incorrect. I am, like you, just livid when I hear lazy analysis. And the reason I don't watch, like for one second, I have not watched the Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith show in my life. Any of those shows that Skip Bayless has ever been on Fox, anything with Shannon Sharp screaming at somebody, I never have watched any of those. And the reason why is those shows perpetuate incorrect, lazy, very grandiose storylines that just aren't correct. You know, things that are flawed logically. And so I want as many of those disproven as possible. And one of those would be if the Vikings were able to win. And I say it that way because, yes, Kirk Cousins has more to do with a win or a loss than most players as their quarterback. But you can play well in losses and you can play poorly in wins. And it just doesn't seem like the average person who watches football understands that. Let's go to Paul in Bethesda. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there, guys. First off, I want to say I always wish my exes the best. So
good
that
for
being
you.
Said,
you're a nice guy.
I do not.
I want
I've
him to have a great life. Well, I have three reasons I root for Cousins. First off, he's not egotistical. I love that. He's an underdog, and he seems like a really good guy. I mean, that's it for me. I just like the guy. I want him to win. Very simple.
Appreciate the call. 800-636-1067. So far, a lot of support for Cousins on the phones. Joe's in Manassas. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Good, man.
Good, man.
Hey, so why would anybody wish bad upon Kirk Cousins? All he did was get screwed here. He played well. He took all of the nonsense. He did what he was supposed to do, got paid, and everybody wants to hate on him because he's, you know, not RG3. Get out of here, man. You guys are a bunch of losers. Go ahead, Grant.
I was just going to say, I guess the other side, if you're playing devil's advocate, is that someone could tell you, well, he could have re-signed here, chose not to. He wanted more money than the Redskins were willing to give him, even though he basically wanted market value. He certainly wasn't signing for a discount, and it seemed at some point like he just decided he wasn't staying here. Now, I think most reasonable people say, why would you? Bruce Allen, Dan Snyder, yeah, guys that didn't really trust you. But I think there's another side of it where you could say if he wanted to take a cheaper deal, even though he offered them one that they didn't agree to in 2015, again after a year or two, he could have done that. Doesn't mean I agree with it, but I guess that's the other side of it.
Right. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Who would want to be a part of this organization for the last, you know, get out of here. I feel you. Get out of here. But that being said, he was a punching bag in Minnesota at the beginning of this year, and he took it all in stride. And all he did after that was produce for the last 7-8 weeks. And he's got them boys ready to play, and he's got them believing now. So you gotta love the guy, man.
Appreciate you, dude. Yeah, look, is he one of the best quarterbacks in football? No, but he's been good for a long time now, dating back to 2015. Statistically, he's been excellent. But you know, there are games where he's just not very sharp, where he plays tight. Sometimes in big spots, sometimes in small spots, sometimes in week 2, sometimes in week 15 against Green Bay. Matchups, for whatever reason, that are better for him than worse. He is a rhythm guy. There's no denying that. So anybody who sit here and tell you he doesn't have any bad games is foolish. But He's not that different than a lot of good quarterbacks, and for some reason, the conversation about him is very, very different. Every incompletion, every interception
is
for
a referendum,
him
yeah.
is somehow still, at this point of his career, a, see, I told you. He could play well in that overtime game, and then they'll lose this weekend, and you'll get an I told you. Or maybe they beat the Vikings and they lose to the Packers, who have beaten them twice, and he's played poorly in those two games this year, probably his two worst games of the year. And if in the NFC Championship game he comes up short, then again it's, see, he lost the most important game. The only way you can kind of shut people up is just never lose, I guess.
Right.
So, let's go to Dylan Waldorf. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, man.
Same to you.
yeah, I love Kirk. You know, he's hard to hate. He's just a big nerd that loves to play football, and I'd love to see him go on and win Super Bowl. You know, he did nothing but play hard when he was here for us, and there's not really much more we could have asked from him. So, you know, I love rooting for underdogs. I love rooting for former Redskins, you know, as far as players go. So it'd be pretty cool to go on and see him win it all.
The one thing, Danny, I would say, too, is that it can't be denied. Whatever you think of Kirk Cousins, mm-hmm. right? How good you think he is. Because at one point, the debate was he wasn't a starter.
Right.
That got shut down.
Uh-huh.
Well, now he's not a good starter. Then he was a pretty good starter. That got shut down. Now it's, can you win a Super Bowl with him or whatever the goalposts are at now? The one thing you can't debate is he was the best quarterback the Redskins have had in 30 years, essentially.
Yeah.
In terms of, they had some flash in the pan. Like Mark Rippon had a season when they went to the Super Bowl. But in terms of three-year run, they haven't had anybody like him, period. Yeah. That's not really debatable.
Right, and their best back-to-back seasons since Dan Snyder bought the team were his. Now, were they anything to write home about? Of course not. Right? 9-7, 8-7-1. Nobody's throwing a parade for that. But when you look at the refuse that surrounds it, you look at 3-13s, 4-12s, 5-11s, 6-10s. Yeah, it was pretty decent. And that's all anybody ever said. Was, this guy's pretty good. No one is saying that you have him on your team and you're Super Bowl bound. This is not Aaron Rodgers. This isn't Drew Brees. Nobody ever said that. But that's what people couldn't escape from, right? He's not elite. He's not the best player in the world. Why is he getting paid like it? That's how markets work. The emotions behind this. People just want to be correct.
Let's go to Zach and Brandywine.
Hey, Zach.
Hey, what's going on, Granddaddy? Y'all the best, man. This is a great one. I'm rooting for Kirk. I'm rooting for all ex-Redskins because there's a few reasons. I mean, one is everybody wants to see the Redskins organization kind of humbled, and I think we all wonder, like, are we as dysfunctional as we think we are? Because you just want to see something happen. So when people leave here and have success, you just wonder, is it nature? Is it nurture? You know, what's going on? Next thing, Kirk and that offense was amazing. It was great to watch them. It was the best time I've had as a Redskin aside from 2012. And
when they were humming, Zach, when they had Deshaun and Pierre, that passing game was legit. Jordan Reed getting after it, just dominating linebackers. We got one here who's actually rooting for Shanahan over Cousins, so I want to squeeze them in because we've got all Cousins so far. Let's get the other side of it.
Hey,
Al, Falls Church.
Hey, man. What's up?
What up?
Good. Yeah. I'm actually rooting for Kyle because it proves to me once again how much of a debacle the front office was and that we had two good quality head coaching material guys here, and they were allowed to slip through his. And even more so, if one of them were selected, do you honestly think Kurt would have left? Do you honestly think he would have gotten away? You know, so that to me is why I'm like, if Kyle would have stayed, Kurt probably would have been here. If nobody would have stayed, Kurt probably would have been here.
And it's actually three. Your phone doesn't sound great,
Thank
so I'm going to let you go.
Good
Appreciate
call,
it. It's a good call. Because the floor was on that staff.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers had a bye this past week, and he's their head coach. First year coaching in the NFL, they went 13-3. So I would add a third guy to that list. Kyle Bailey joins us next, does radio in Charlotte. Ron Rivera bringing a lot of former Panthers staffers with him to D.C. We'll get Bailey's thoughts on the Panthers North right here on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.